Amen. My compadres. What we have done together. I know each one of you like I know my own smell. Carlos! We fought together the priests of this mission. Pedro! We crushed the federales in the plains of Oaxaca. Jose! Together we
burned the village!
And raped the horses! And we
rode off on the women!
Rode off on the women! And
plundered!
Plundered!
Pruned
the
hedges.
Hedges.
Of many small villages.
Of many small villages.
Who the hell are you?
Another one of the goddamn gringos. Take this monkey away. Put him with the other Yankee maricon. What is happening around here today? Are gringos falling from the sky? Yes, guapo.
Ay mi amor, you tell me that it's red. Ay mi amor, where should I put my shoes? Ay mi amor, you say put them on your head. Ay mi amor, you make me un poco loco, un poquitito loco, the way you keep me guessing.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
I knew that one would work. This is David.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't hear whatever the joke is.
Win.
Beat the insane. Yeah.
Yep, we did it.
Oh, this is unfortunately done.
In the longest name intro we've ever done. Because we're too busy laughing at dumbness.
I mean, at least we said our names.
That is true.
There was a time.
Bang!
Alright, I have to stop.
I thought that was supposed to be like, you know, the replacement for.
No. Nope.
The rim shots.
That is me giving my own commentary during basketball games.
Okay.
So, this week we have come together to discuss a film from last year. Pixar's film from last year, Coco. Directed by Lee Unkrich, the guy who brought us Toy Story 3. The film involves an aspiring musician, Miguel, who is a youngster in this family of shoemakers who have refused to go into the world of music. They loathe music, everything about music, they hate it. So all because of a very long-lost father that ran away to be a musician. But the music speaks to Miguel, and Miguel has to express himself. And on Dia de los Muertos, one night he goes out to go and be in a competition, and cartoony things happen. He then ends up in the land of the dead and must figure out his way back.
It's you. You're gonna get me in trouble, Dante. Someone could hear me. I wish someone wanted to hear me. Other than you. I know I'm not supposed to love music.
No music. No music.
But my great-grandma Coco's father was the greatest musician of
Damien,
all time.
Damien, I don't think we have a bigger Pixar fan than you on the podcast. Because even in the years in which Pixar have made questionable decisions, you seem to come out the most positive of all of us.
Yeah. I like good movies.
You like good movies. I'd like to ask you, how is this movie played for you, Coco?
I enjoyed this movie a lot. Like, I thought it was just going to be a blatant ripoff of what was the other one that they
yeah, put Book of Life.
Book of Life. I thought it was, because it deals with the same themes and whatever. And while Book of Life was a funnier movie, this one had more, and Douglas will hate this, heart. I enjoyed the overall story more of this movie. And the story is pretty straightforward, like most Pixar stories are. But it's nice to see that they can tell more than one story using the Day of the Dead as the backdrop. And towards the end, like, in when he meets the guy that doesn't have a family that's remembering him, I don't remember what
Hector.
His name is. Where, when he meets Hector, I immediately saw what the rest of this movie was. I'm like, this guy is 100% his great-grandfather, whatever it was. But even though I knew what was going to happen, because clearly, like, this is a children's movie, it's not trying to take me on, it's not trying to bait me into thinking one thing and then switching it up. And it is telling a regular story. But it was fun. First of all, these movies are always colorful, which is a thing I really enjoy. Especially, I enjoyed it in Moana, just watching them turn the color knob all the way up to the maximum. There's like as much color as you can put in this on screen, we're turning all of that up. And even though it is, you know, the backdrop is, you know, they are the dead and he's in the spirit world, you'd think that it might be a little bit drab, but they just throw all of that out immediately. It's bright and colorful. And watching them play with, you know, all of the skeleton things and watching them, even though, like, some of the music I enjoyed way more than, some of the songs I like more than some of the others. And I don't know if these are, like, traditional songs that have been coming from afar, they're original for the movie, don't know, but some of the songs weren't as high, but I still enjoyed the music, I enjoyed the story, and so on a whole, I didn't love this as much as Moana, which is a movie I know both of you did not like at all, but I still really found myself enjoying this. Even though if I had to pick between this and Book of Life, I'd choose Book of Life just because there's more jokes in Book of Life. Like, the story is not as good, but they, like, double down on telling silly jokes in that one. And so, yeah, like, I can see why, I understand why a lot of people didn't, fall over themselves with this one. Like, there was not a lot of talk about this movie after it came out, at least none that I saw. But it's a good Pixar movie, and that's basically what they make now. There's nothing, they haven't made anything truly outstanding in a while. There hasn't been a Toy Story 3 out of them basically since Toy Story 3. But it's good. Like, it's what I expect out of Pixar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I looked in the spreadsheet, because apparently I have the spreadsheet now to do the podcast, I saw that Andra had typed in Coco,
yes,
for this movie, but I knew that he had just misspelled it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did what an irrational person would do, which is I put on The Suburbs by Arcade Fire, right, and just listened to Rococo over and over for an hour and a half.
You're a dumb man.
It's a great song.
Yes.
So
it's not better than Wake Up.
Fuck this movie. Actually, that's a bit harsh, but
you don't like
this movie. I didn't really like this movie, and I think that it's my fault.
I agree on all accord.
Yeah, because to be fair to this movie, as I was watching it. So let's back up, actually. I started with a negative bias because I saw the trailer and I had the same approach to it that Damian had, the same takeaway, which was, oh, it's Book of Life Part 2. And for that reason, I kind of decided, you know what, I don't want to watch this movie. I actually didn't even realize it was a Pixar movie until the movie started. And this movie, I just never got into it from day one. It didn't feel special to me. I didn't really enjoy it. It was fine, but I couldn't care less, right? I didn't really care about what was happening. And as you said, Damian, it's fairly transparent in terms of what it's trying to do. But as I was watching it, I saw the usual Pixar machinations, the usual things that they do, and realized that there was one point where I had the thought, and it came around, I think it was when he probably got lost, the boy, Miguel, when he ran away from Hector. And I realized that essentially this movie could have been, what's the one that I love so much with the feelings? With the personified feelings.
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Inside Out. I mean, this is, it's kind of cut and paste Inside Out. Not the actual movie, but, you know, some of the strings that they pull on and the sort of things that they do, it's similar. It could have been Inside Out, and I adore Inside Out. There really should be no reason for me to hate this movie, but I do for probably two reasons. One is I decided I was going to hate it before I watched it. And two, it didn't do anything to knock me off of my feet. Because, for instance, Inside Out, I wasn't against it because Pixar, right? Mm-hmm. But, and I didn't have that at first. I didn't realize it was Pixar. So I said it's a Pixar movie. There has to be something good about it. And also, when I went into Inside Out, there were just things that you couldn't deny. Like Lewis Black was incredible.
Killing it.
And they had a bunch of great jokes, a bunch of, you know, fun things. And it was, you know, it was a fun movie. And yes, it had feelings. So there was a little bit of a heart in there. But it was an acceptable amount. This movie, I guess, as you said, Damian, there are not many jokes, right? And the ones that are here, very not good. Yeah, fuck this movie.
It's interesting that I looked on Letterboxd and I saw Douglas watch this movie and then immediately after watched Three Amigos. And I was like, yeah, he hated that movie so much he needed Three Amigos to cheer him. Yeah.
To be fair, what had happened to me was I was doing my thing where I watch a movie over 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to watch the last 20 minutes after that.
And sure, both of those movies share an actor. Could you guess who?
I would say Game that they that'd be great. It's probably somebody. Oh no,
Antonio Banderas.
I was thinking maybe it would be the agent. I can't remember his name, but
it is Alfonso Arau, otherwise known to us as El Guapo.
Oh, El Guapo is in this movie. That's funny. I've only seen him in one other movie, which is this very shitty Heather Graham movie, where she is in the desert and there's a brother involved, and I can't remember what it's called, but it was making up very fake bad movies. But El Guapo.
I mean, he was also in The Wild Bunch and Romancing the Stone, two very popular movies.
I didn't know that. But then I haven't watched those movies.
You haven't seen Romancing the Stone? Oh my God.
I've seen bits and pieces.
That is the one, Andrew.
So hold on. I have seen... what are the two? Romancing the Stone?
The Jewel of the and The Wild Bunch.
You haven't seen The Wild Bunch?
Oh, no, I haven't seen The Wild Bunch.
Oh, I hate you.
I love
I've
those
seen
movies.
Bits and pieces of Romancing the Stone as well as Jewel of the Nile. What I do know that El Guapo was also in was the original Three Amigos.
You know what else you should watch, though?
What's that?
The Wild Bunch.
Are they...
Any joke you can make, the answer is yes. As a fan of Red Dead Redemption, like, you played Red Dead, right? So you've pretty much seen The Wild Bunch already. Because they weren't shy about ripping off most of what is in The Wild Bunch. But it pales in comparison to what the actual movie
is. I've seen movies produced by The Wild Bunch.
Going to stop talking.
Anyways, okay, Coco. I wanted to bring this movie to the podcast for many reasons. Right?
Roma Coco?
Sorry?
What? You know... You've never had Roma Coco? Not that
okay.
Long.
Okay.
But you're just like, Damon, you stupid.
I hate all of you.
Yep.
Number one, we've been picking a lot of movies that end up failing horribly.
Yes.
Yes. And I wanted to take something a little less heavy.
Yeah.
We've been going down some dark roads.
Something with a chance of winning.
And I mean, I knew there was a chance that like Douglas wouldn't love the movie, but kind of like how we all end up, we're all like, yeah, this movie's good. It's fine, right? Fine to good, dependent on your traction.
It's right? It's what Pixar means.
Right? And also, I wanted to give this movie a chance because Douglas said you didn't hear a lot of noise about it. I heard a lot of great things about this movie from last year. And, like, I mean, we talk about technical things a lot in this podcast, and we kind of fan them away. But, and I mean, we know Pixar is very proficient in the technical aspect of their filmmaking. But...
Yes, they get away with all sorts of technical.
Right? But I don't know about you guys, but this movie felt, like... even more crisp than usual from Pixar. And I don't know if it's down to like the design of characters and the design of the world, because forgetting the actual skeletons themselves, but like the world itself of the land of the dead and the characters in the world, like they felt special to me, like the way they're designed.
Hold on, question. So they're in the land of the dead, you said? So if he had actually stayed over the night and waited for sunrise, would that have been the dawn of the day?
It would have been the day of the dead, Douglas.
Oh, my God.
Well, the dawn goes into the day.
So I've just turned around, so I'm not looking at Douglas.
And I suppose that the Dia de la Muertos,
yes,
or Los Muertos, when... they go out into the living, must be the night of the living dead.
Ah, seems so. Yeah.
I hate everything about you.
I'm certain there's someone named Sean there.
And this movie was an enjoyable film for me, and more to the point, like, Damian mentioned it, I actually really like all of the songs in this movie, right? Which I don't remember if any Pixar movie has been, like, a full-on musical in any sense, but this is the closest they've come to it for me. And
boom.
I quite enjoyed myself with that aspect of the movie. Like, you guys are right, like, most of the narrative kind of was easy to fuss out. Like, I actually didn't think much about when we met Hector until we got closer and closer to Ernesto de la Cruz, who is played by the wonderful Benjamin Bratt. Like...
Oh, is that who that is? Okay. I did like him a lot.
And, I mean... It makes sure to wrap everything up in a nice Pixar Disney bow, but it was a really enjoyable experience for me. And it's not the greatest film out there, but I felt we needed a safe bunt in this podcast, because We've been having trouble.
Yep. It's been real bad.
Right. And people have been trying to one-up each other in their own weirdness for the last few weeks.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And it's not turned out well. And I wanted to use this,
I apologize.
I wanted to use this movie as a nice little soft reset. Mm-hmm. So we can mentally come good next week to whatever we talk about. And not be doing, like, ludicrous Japanese films.
Now that you mentioned the music, which I agree with you, the music was pretty good in this movie. There is a reason why I watched the Three Amigos after this movie. So,
racism.
Do you remember when Gael Garcia Bernal was teaching his son? Well, teaching is a strong word, but giving him like encouragement to go on stage.
Yep.
And he said this thing. They did this sort of scream thingy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, give me your best, whatever that word is, right?
Yeehaw.
Right, yeah. And they did it, and then they did it on stage and stuff. And clearly that word, clearly that sound or intonation or whatever it is a thing, right, culturally, and has that
and
name,
has a,
right?
Which actual word.
I did not know about
me
any
either.
At all. But it reminded me of
something
the Three Amigos. And don't ask me how I got it. My mind is weird, right? But one of the many things that I associate with the Three Amigos from, because we watched that so many times when we were young, Andrew, but one of the big things that I associate with that is closer to the end of the movie, which is actually where I had gotten to at that point, so it was perfect. When they are essentially storming El Guapo's lair.
When there's the party's going on.
Yeah, when the party's going on, it's right before, I think, Steve Martin, as Lucky Day, comes out and has escaped his prison and comes out and tries to shoot
everybody. Gotta get it. Oh.
Yeah, so good. One of the big things that I associate with this movie is there's a musical number for a half a second where this guy does this kind of screaming thing first. And I realized when he said that, hold on, this is that same thing and that is the word that you would use. And I feel bad for not remembering the word. But that, I don't know, that was just a weirdly cool discovery for me.
Yes. It turns out we should learn about other cultures.
Yes, we should.
Stop being dicks. I think that might be, if Book of Life didn't come out prior to this movie, I think I'd have been more fascinated with the world that this movie constructed.
Yeah, of course.
But no matter how hard they tried, and I don't know if it was the case that they started this, but because Pixar takes their sweet time to do everything, Book of Life came out first, or they saw that and
Book of Life is at least 4 years
or now. They saw that and went, because it came out in 2004 and
2014.
So
2014 for life. Son.
Yeah, there's a chance that they started this movie, say 2013.
Like I also like now that I've just googled it and checked. Book of Life stars Diego Luna. And
that's awesome. That's awesome.
And Coco has Gael Garcia Bernal. I wanted them to kind of come together and like fight over who has the best movie.
Those guys need to be in every movie together. It's not even a joke.
But I'm still fascinated by, even with this, I'm fascinated by seeing other cultures, especially in children's movies. Because I am usually a very cynical person, but my only hope for the future, and I've seen evidence of it, is that children who are born now with the full internet won't have any of the shitty hang-ups this generation still has about race and culture and all, because they'd have grown up seeing it everywhere and wouldn't have been told at any point until it's too late that, oh, those people are worse than you, so you shouldn't talk to them. Hopefully this generation, this flare-up that we're having now with the Trump and whatever, this is the last time, is my sincere hope. But watching Moana and seeing that culture being on the... Because for the most part, for a long time, the stories that you saw in cartoons were like the fairy tales from the early 1900s. And all of them had the same protagonist. And all of them were basically, it's boy saves girl and the end. But seeing, like, even when we got The Lion King, you were just like, all right, fine. Yes, there are lions, but it is literally the same story. And it took a while for Pixar to step in and start telling different kinds of stories with different protagonists. Like, the aims were always different. And up was the point where you realize Pixar is now confident that they can tell any story at any point. And you started to see it. I remember there's a stop motion one that came out shortly after. I want to say Penelope, but that is not the name of that movie.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It is, but it's French, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's Iranian. It's based in Iran or about in French, right, or something like, yeah, that. I know what you're talking about.
I remember seeing that.
Persepolis.
That's, right, not stop, I remember, motion. Seeing that. That's hand drawn.
Hand
drawn stop motion.
Okay.
Sorry, that's my fault. And
I
remember seeing that and going, I want to see more of that. Something that is fresh and new. And it is why I thought that WALL-E was such a disappointment. Because WALL-E could have gone and been about anything. And it was the first time I thought that Pixar thought they were better than who they were.
Was WALL-E before or after?
No, man. I'm just talking in the same vicinity. Just watching these and going, all right, these guys now know they can do anything. What story can you tell? And WALL-E was just this cynical, shitty story about a silent robot. And you're like, not that one, not that story. And when people were giving Brave a lot of shit, because that was a show, that was a movie about, yeah, I know you don't like it.
Brave is awesome.
But, right.
The worst ever.
It told a story with female protagonists. Which,
sure, that's great.
But even better, I liked the setting of Brave a lot.
Scotland.
Yeah. But seeing it through, like, everything Scottish was the stereotype. I don't even think Scotland is our place. I think it's a joke that we tell each other at this point.
Damn it, Brave isn't on Netflix.
it's a pint of beer.
Yeah,
and
Scotland is to me what I assume Jamaica is to most white people. It's Rastas and coconut. Alright. And so I enjoyed but the problem with this is that we saw this already. And even as hard as I was trying to like get that out of the back of my mind, it was still like they look. At one point, I opened both movies and like the color palette is the same. Like, there's, if you put them side by side, you can tell that Pixar has more money. That is all you can tell. But if I said that is episode one and that is episode two, you couldn't tell the difference. But I still did enjoy the story behind this. This is one that I would show to children because it deals with a thing like death in a way that I think children will find acceptable, which is a thing that a lot of these movies shy away from, understandably. Having watched Avengers and watching small children cry at the end of that movie, I think we should always be mindful of the audience that these movies are for. they're not for big people. They are for children. And yes, we can watch them and enjoy them, but they're primarily for the youngins. And it is unfair to them for grown-ass people.
To laugh.
To be like when Andrew, no joke, when Avengers ended, I was just like, fuck yes, that's how this movie is supposed to end. Finally. And there is a little boy holding a character in his hand that just passed away. And he was, fully into. It's the first time I felt sad for a parent in a good long time. Because that woman will have to explain to a 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy, it's okay. You'll see them 12 months from now.
I'm curious. Did you feel sorry for the parent because of the child's experience with the death, or the child's experience with the death and you laughing behind him?
No.
Damian felt sorry for the parent because the parent has to deal with a crying child.
Yeah. No, a crying child that he, like, how do you explain to a 7-year-old? It's fine.
It's not real.
It's fine.
Andrew, do you remember when
from
we
now
were
we
seven,
will fix this?
That, did you, when you were 7 years old,
yeah,
did you realize that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were fake?
Yeah, no,
because I can tell you, I did not.
Those things are still
100%. Right. Exactly, I 100% right. thought they were in the suit.
I knew the Power Rangers were bullshit. I didn't know they were fake.
So if you then see on screen that they're dead, oh like, boy.
He had, and to his credit, he wasn't holding a Black Panther doll, so that would have been racist. But he was... like holding the thing in both hands, just sobbing. I was like, oh, right. That is the only part of that movie. Like, right at the very end, I'm like, oh, right, this movie's for children. God damn it.
I got caught.
Yeah, I forget
for
that.
Adults. Yeah.
I forget that sometimes.
Yeah, I forgot for so, like, watch. It was a quick reality check. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, they made that movie for me. For a grown-ass man to go, God damn right. And, but I can imagine there's a sea of children whose parents have to go, oh, you stupid idiot. Disney, why? Why would you do this?
Which leads us into our next film of discussion.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
As we've all finally, 20 years later, gotten around to watching Avengers Infinity War.
The Revengers.
Right. So before we get around to squibbling over the bet, let's try to talk about
that. Oh, no, we all lost. Like, who gives pretty a shit sure. about that bet? Everyone lost. We all lost that bet.
No, I know someone who lost more than the others.
Okay. Was it me?
No.
Oh.
I don't think any of my people died. Because I think I recall I said Tony Stark, who is 100% alive.
Yeah.
And I think I said the Hulk, which again, still alive.
I know someone who lost more, so we'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Avengers, the culmination of 10 years of horseshit comic books.
Yeah. 18 shitty movies with like 3 good ones.
Brings together Thanos finally fighting everybody for the gem so he can kill half of the universe. Which fingers. I found it interesting that they changed that from the comic book, that he's now doing it for altruistic reasons, that he's like, I want to solve hunger, these things. So I need to kill half of the population of everywhere.
Tell Andrew to not bring his comic book bullshit into my comic book movies. Can you remind him, Damon, that he's the reason the Inhumans is on TV?
That show got
people
canceled.
Like him. Yeah, no. It's canceled because people like you saw it and went, it's not like my books. Why is it not
Damon,
like my books?
Damon, treat me that like that 8-year-old child so who you were nice enough to not make fun of.
You're a 40-year-old man, dog.
you know what's the weirdest thing about this movie is when it finished, immediately I thought to myself, this is probably going to be one of Damien's favorite Marvel movies. And I thought that
correct.
I thought that because at the end of it, I was thinking about the film and I said to myself, I think this movie has the least talking for a Marvel movie.
Again, you are...
Oh, I really love this movie. Now, let's get this out of the way. It is not better than Thor.
It does have a lot of recently. Thor in it, including a bear joke. I quite like.
I watched Thor again recently. It's like a warm hug, that movie. It is. And our boy from Skok's Life is in Deadpool. Didn't realize that.
Yep. He's in that movie.
Oh, really?
He's in Deadpool.
Yep. I saw that the other day.
Amazing.
I also saw
you've,
Deadpool.
You've watched Deadpool. Okay, I haven't seen that one yet.
We know, Douglas. So it's not better than that. Outside of that, though, I'm willing to listen to arguments for any other Marvel movie. Because this movie, it is a origin story for a villain, which they've never done. Which finally they realize that you can do this. I don't need origin stories for the heroes anymore. I don't give a shit. The origin stories are the same. So I don't care. Villains are the people that they need to flesh out. Like, they looked into Loki, and then, like, after Loki, there's no one else. Like, all of the other villains are shitty villains.
They tried with MJ.
Who?
Michael Jordan.
They tried with Ultron, but not really hard, and that movie wasn't really good.
Which one is Ultron?
Robot Stark.
Avengers
Robot
2.
Stark.
Avengers 2, Tony Stark's robot thing that led to Vision.
Oh, I only kind of half remember
that.
Yeah,
exactly, because it's real bad. But
I'm trying to think, what has been another good villain in Marvel?
None. There's never, like, it's all this shitty shell game. Where people do bad shit.
He wasn't a good villain, but I really like Mads Mikkelsen. Just generally.
If that's the case, then
I guess you have to pull in Sam Rockwell in there as well.
No, man. What's the name? Civil War. That guy that was manipulating everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Right. He actually was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He had no powers. So when it got down to him at the end, you're just like, he's just like, fuck it.
But that movie,
yeah,
I watched that movie way more than I thought I would. It's so good.
Right, they tell a real story. Yeah,
that is an Avengers movie.
Yeah. So this one, like, the movie starts and the run up to this movie, my entire thing was, he'll fight the Hulk at some point and the Hulk will win. And then this movie will end. And I love how the movie starts and immediately you see the Hulk beat the shit out of him. You're like, yeah, I figured. But if the movie is starting here, and then Thanos is just like, no, you guys stay over there. And he fucks the Hulk up. It's like, oh, once I saw that, I was like, movie, proceed.
And Damien, so I definitely don't love this movie as much as you do, but there are certain things I can do nothing but appreciate, and things like the Hulk being too scared to come back out because Thanos is around.
Thanos kicked the shit out of him.
That's perfect.
Douglas, and then, like, the rest of the movie is excuses for different groups of them to fight him, but all of the set... not since Transformers have I seen so much money on a screen. You can tell that there are nerds in a basement somewhere that finally saw the sun once this movie came out. The movie is beautiful and so expensive. There's so much CG in this shit that you cannot imagine. And it is just fight after fight after fight after fight. And you get to see that Thanos isn't just, I'm killing everybody, cause killing everybody. And while his motivations, you can look at it and go, I mean, that's real dumb, the thing you're doing. You see, when he was to get the Soul Stone is when you finally saw that he had something other than, I'm a murderous bastard. Like, once he had to sacrifice, what's her face? What's her name?
Gamora.
Gamora, you're just like...
The Italian movie.
You stupid idiot. Once he threw Italian cinema.
What'd you say about Fellini?
And you saw it like, oh, he's not just this giant piece of garbage that wants to kill everybody. He actually has a thing he's trying to achieve that isn't, I will be the greatest ruler of all. It's just like, no, I see what's going to happen and I'm trying to fix it. And yes, it seems overly harsh, but you see where he's coming from. And that was like, they told a story in between all these action scenes, which is a thing, like, John Wick didn't tell a story between its action scenes. And somehow they put 19 million characters on the screen. But at no point did it feel overcrowded. And he still told his story. And you got things like his henchmen, the one that has like the telekinetic powers. I wanted them to keep him around because he was so
Yeah, he
creepy.
Was good.
And so well, good.
The one creepy who, is the one word I'd use, but Doctor Strange, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I wouldn't use the word creepy, but, you know, douchebag comes to mind. And that's great.
Yeah, he's like,
he's powerful and he knows he
perfect
is.
Henchman. Yeah, yeah, he's just like,
he's like
flexing the
really?
Entire time.
stop it.
And so, like, watching this movie and seeing them actually tell us, sure, the movie's 14 hours long, so they had time to tell this story. But they filled all of that time with as much fighting as the movie could handle. And the movie came out and wasn't a complete clusterfuck. Like, this movie should have been bad. It should have been real bad. And somehow, still don't understand how they're just like, we're able to tell a story.
So essentially, your review of this movie is my review of The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It should be bad.
But it isn't. Therefore, I love it.
Yeah. No, but it's actually a good, like, on its own, it is outside of expectations or whatnot. It is some of the best action that I've seen in the series so far. And one of the better stories that they've told. And while the runtime is pretty long, it didn't feel like, when I left the theater and looked at the runtime and saw it was more than 2.5 hours, I was like, oh shit, this movie's long. But it didn't feel that way. It felt like how the Lord of the Rings movies felt, where it started.
You mean long?
No, where it, I know it is long in my head. But as I watch the movie, when it ends, you're just like, there's no way that was 3 hours.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it felt long in the sense that I figured it was about a 2-hour movie. But for you to go, there's a chasm. There's a big difference between 2 hours and 2.5 to 2:45. Yeah. I did not think it was on the other side of that line. Yeah.
Yeah. The movie's listen, it's fun for me, especially that ending. No, as I said, children cried, which...
No, the best part of that ending is that I don't really pay attention to all that internet shit, or I try not to. But I did, every once in a while, some stuff did filter through to me about... I didn't know who died, but people were upset that people died.
Yeah.
And when I saw the ending, and I saw the movie, how it progressed, and realized that... One of two things is happening. Either these guys are just babies, which they probably are.
Clearly.
Or they're morons.
Both.
Possibly both. Because it is clear to me, and I think anybody who has watched this movie, that none of these people are going to die because it's the only way to save everybody, because then somebody's going to steal the goddamn gauntlet and turn back time, right? You know, it's
so obvious.
It's so fucking obvious. No. And more than likely, that person is Iron Man.
No, if in the second movie, half of the
that's when
that,
no.
That is when yeah. you can go. Marvel, much respect to Marvel.
Oh, especially if one of those people that remains dead mm-hmm. is Black fucking Panther, the person who just made billions of dollars for you.
Let me explain
in
something.
His first movie.
Let me explain
that
something.
Would be spectacular.
Even if they wrote that he died in the script before, 100% guaranteed.
I know. Speaking of which, I have to tell you, very early in this movie, there is a joke, really, but an implication that perhaps Thor had died. That's when I got upset.
Yes.
because it was so early, and so it wasn't like the fake deaths at the end, yeah. right? Those felt fake.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't catch when Strange said it was the only way.
Yes.
It felt like something's. Uh-huh. You're ending on a cliffhanger. Something's going to happen. But that death, if it was a death, that felt... Yeah.
Because he just murdered Loki.
But I said to myself, and even before anything happened, I said, all right, it's vague enough. It's like you pulled away. Mm-hmm. So he could maybe not be dead. Please make that happen. But yeah, so I was happy when he did not die. Because he's a fucking god, of course. Mm-hmm. Space does not kill gods.
Of hammers.
He got himself a new hammer.
Are you a god of hammers?
An axe hammer.
Yes.
So this movie is okay. Actually, I like this movie a good amount. I actually love thinking about all of the subsections of this movie as to like how characters are sectioned off. So like you have Captain America and Falcon and Widow together doing, I guess they're like guerrilla tactics throughout the world. You kind of see them appear with when Vision is attacked. The one thing that truly disappointed me about this movie of wanting to see actors and characters get together is I wanted Iron Man to go to Wakanda after watching Black Panther, because I wanted to see him be upset at how much better the technology is there.
It's just like, this is bullshit. Threw his suit in the garbage.
I was so upset that Tony Stark didn't go to Wakanda, but you know, whatever. But this movie had like some really great moments. Like, I truly love the moment that you saw Spider-Man get his new suit. Mm-hmm. And you saw, like, the mechanical thing, legs come out.
Fly out the back.
So awesome. I have to say, for the biggest claim of Marvel racism, why is it that in no film has War Machine ever gotten an upgrade? His stuff has stayed the exact same, movie to movie. But every other
if
character...
can't afford a loan payment.
Oh! Can't get credit, son.
Every other...
Who's going co-sign?
Literally every character for each of these movies always gets upgrades. It's weird.
It's not weird, Andrew. It's racist.
Yeah. It's a shit about War Machine.
Also that, too.
I mean, even Falcon got upgrades movie to movie.
Yeah, which proves that they're not racist. They just don't give a shit about War Machine.
Speaking of upgrades and downgrades, and speaking of Falcon, I have to say, and this is a weird aside, I really like Captain America's beard and his long hair. I really don't like Falcon's new beard. Now
I like Thor telling Captain America he stole his beard.
I like them the Guardians mocking the shit out of Star-Lord when they bring Thor onto the ship, and it's like, you're a boy, that is a man. Like, could you stop caressing his muscles?
I loved when they went to Benicio del Toro's place.
Oh my god.
And the whole Reality Stone fun happened.
Yeah.
Including, I'm sure you guys didn't see this, but I didn't even see this in the movie. I had to, like, someone had to point this out to me. In that scene, in one of, like, the cases in the back, you see the blue man from Arrested Development. The never nude in full blue in one of the cases.
No.
Yep.
Wow. I don't like this movie.
apparently the directors of this, Anthony and Joe Russo, directed a lot of Arrested Development episodes.
I didn't know that.
They've put things in these movies before. In Civil War, they had like the staircase, the driving staircase, the Bluths. In the airport scene. What you mean.
Okay. Yeah.
I
was thinking driving staircase, but yeah.
But
as it turns out, Arrested Development's still bad.
I love that show.
The new season's coming soon.
I know, and apparently they recut the old season.
And people are
probably
upset.
Yeah. Oh, really? They don't like it?
I think the creators are upset. I don't know if people are upset.
Okay. Oh, I the article I read made it sound like it was the creators that did it.
Mm-hmm. Someone said, can you make this good? And they're like, we'll have to cut out most of it.
No, they didn't cut out anything, but they recut it, so they shuffled it around to be episodes. Or so them say.
But yeah, this movie is filled with like great blockbuster action movie points that I love. To the point where when we get to like the final, what I'd like to call Lord of the Rings battle sequence in Wakanda, it's alright. That's fine for me. Right, I mean, I enjoy the jokes between Thor and Captain America there and stuff, but that scene for me is minimal in comparison to like the Reality Stone scene, the scene of, as Damian mentioned, Hulk versus Thanos at the beginning, or even when Doctor Strange and Iron Man are fighting in London.
The thing I liked.
I'm trying to remember. Did the Valkyrie survive Thor? The first Thor movie?
Yes. She, like Korg, is one of those that we never got to see.
Because we still need people to be alive in the second movie. Like, I firmly believe that the reason we didn't see a lot of characters at all is
they'll
so
just show
can,
up, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So that
they'll
can
be like, well, I guess I have to do this.
Guys, what the fuck did you guys do?
I heard on another podcast someone saying that the Ant-Man movie that's coming out in a couple months, that they're doing it time-wise the same time that this movie occurs. And someone made the joke that the movie opens and then they dust away and then they're like, end.
But he didn't die, did he?
There's no way.
I don't think that. Well, I'm not sure if they actually specifically
Ant-Man
showed him dead or
no,
not.
No, Ant-Man wasn't in the movie at all.
He was, you just couldn't see him.
Yeah, he was. No, wasn't he?
No.
He wasn't in the movie at all, Douglas.
He wasn't in the movie
Douglas. Is it that they mentioned
they
him
mentioned
and that's why
him.
I remember?
Yeah, okay. Someone made a joke about it, I think.
Oh yes, they mentioned that him and Hawkeye just took a deal and went home. So, right, yes.
Yeah. So like the thing I liked about the final action
by that
scene,
they mean fucking asshole. What's his name? Real person.
Jeremy
Renner. Yeah. It was just like, you know what guys? I'm done.
Done with your bullshit. The thing I liked about the final scene is that they finally put in creatures, because you always have to have like a sea of things attacking, but this is the first one where the things that are attacking had like that is their sole purpose. Like they weren't trying to survive or like their entire watching them sacrifice themselves just to get through this barrier. You're just like, yeah, like they are vicious killing machines and that is their sole purpose. And so you got to see, because you know Thanos is the final baddie, but at the time I'm like, these guys won't be able to fight him. Like there's nothing that anyone on earth would be able to do to a man that can rewind time and change reality. Like Tony Stark came close And then it was who that Star-Lord that he pissed off?
Yeah.
Right. And like, if you have magic and all the technology and you can't get it done, like by the time he lands on Earth, this is a wrap. And so I knew that the last scene would have played out basically how it did, with the exception of Thor throwing the axe and not killing him. I didn't see that part, but I figured everyone would march towards him and he would hand wave them away, which is basically what happened. But I like seeing them like realize the sheer scale of the problem that they had to, because they have to deal with these things and prevent them from overrunning citizens. But at the end of this, they're just like, oh, and we have some dude that is coming to murder us all. And at the very end, the payoff for me was that this is clearly, like, I knew there was two movies. But watching this movie end is the only way, in my mind, the movie could end. They're just like, we tried, we failed. And these are the consequences. And you get 1 year to find out how Humpty Dumpty's put back together again.
I kind of hope they have a good... like, I think they have like two or three movies planned on before the next Avengers movies. There's Ant-Man, there's Captain Marvel, and I think there's another one. I could be wrong. Because I want to see them actually have a time of people being like, well, we're in this fucked up world now. Like, the movie's kind of skirting around it. Like, I think Captain Marvel is supposed to be set in the 90s, so that probably won't do anything.
Yeah. Will it be?
Yeah, yeah, I remember hearing that. That sucks.
Because, so, did any of you wait until the end credit scene?
Yeah, I did.
Because you get to see him page her before you.
At this point, you're forced to, because they're not letting anybody out of the theater. I want to go home.
What?
Whenever it happens, I'm just like, I can't watch this shit on YouTube. Like, I don't need to stay here an extra 5 minutes to see the 19 million people they employed. But there's just people at the doors. Just not letting
really?
Anybody. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I decided to and stay,
telling
so
me,
I didn't realize.
And they were telling me, no, there's more.
Oh, like, wow. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
That's like, interesting.
That, yeah, that is what we call sucks. A fire hazard.
Carib still sucks. But yeah, like, I really did. I can't wait to watch this movie properly. Is the other thing.
That by the way was my key take home from watching this, is that yes, I like to watch movies as soon as they come out, but oh my God, do I hate watching movies like Carib.
Deadpool isn't in 3D.
Oh really?
Not in 3D.
Okay.
And Deadpool is better than this movie.
people seem to like Deadpool.
Fucking A, dog.
Yeah.
So, the bet.
Yes.
Right? Douglas had Hulk and Iron Man, who were both safe.
Alive and well.
Yep.
Damian had Iron Man and Vision. Mm-hmm. One is out of the game.
Yes. Vision straight to dead.
I had Thor.
Is Vision dead though?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, before we start arguing about that Thor shit, we agreed that whoever is technically dead at the end of the movie, we're considering dead for the bit.
Yes. No, right? I saw him lying down.
I picked Thor and Nick Fury, who saved me in the end credits.
Nick Fury, yeah.
Yes. You got right at the end there, like, ah, oh, Damian, you motherfucker. I'm like, yes!
There were times in this
so
movie...
So Douglas loses there completely.
There was times in this movie, like, during that Thanos versus Guardians and Iron Man fight, that you saw for a half second that Iron Man gets stabbed and you're like, thinking he's going to go. Mm-hmm. And I was shouting on the screen. I'm like, no! Can't let Douglas.
No, goddamn it!
And then I cheered when he did die. I'm like, yes, I'm still in the game. So Damon and I both have one right.
Yep. So Douglas lost outright.
Wait, hold on. Damon had what?
Vision is dead.
And who?
And Iron Man.
And I had Iron Man.
Oh, Iron Man. Which was supposed to be dead. Okay. Yeah. Clearly, they decided. You know what? He's too good to us. Yeah.
So, Damian, this is what I propose. The bet was that whoever won got to take over two picks of the other people, like one each. I say we both get one of Douglas's pick.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
I think that is accurate.
No, listen. Yep, you both get one.
It's too late.
You can decide if each of them is for me.
Nope.
But you could also, Damien, what if Andrew picks something that you don't want to watch?
Then I'll just accept that.
Nah.
Because I get to veto one of your shitty picks.
And I get to veto one of Douglas's shitty
picks. I'm just going to make it, I'm going to make it so that you guys just have to do it these first 2 weeks. That's how it's going to work.
You can try.
I'm going to pick the shittiest movies.
You already have.
I remember you guys shouting at me saying that I'll auto lose if Nick Fury doesn't show up in the movie. Yeah. I was actually scared to come here. And Damon would be like, I didn't stay for the end credits. Andrew, you lose.
I tried to. Tried to not stay for the end credits. They're just like, no.
I got two for two. He showed up and he died. Boom.
And he died. I did it.
He just, like, the whole movie, everyone's like, Damon's won it. And then the end comes up and Andrew's like, nope, I'm still here.
13 seconds left. 12. Not. A goddamn
a last injury. Minute Man U goal, just like boom. Stoppage
speaking
time.
Speaking of Man U goals, oh wait, there were none.
Fuck you.
that game sucks, and you don't give a shit about the FA Cup.
All right, that's Avengers, which I shall put a big spoiler warning on.
at some point.
I mean, why hasn't that movie made a quintillion dollars?
Because, right?
Who are these people that have not seen Avengers?
We don't need to frighten the 7-year-olds.
Okay. So now we talk about Deadpool?
We can. I've seen Deadpool.
I've seen Deadpool.
Fuck you guys.
Damien, I think you like Deadpool.
A lot. Did you watch the first one, Douglas? Then you've seen the second one.
I figured as much.
Yeah. Screw you, Thanos. And our boy from Catastrophe is in it.
Oh, really?
Which one?
Yeah, he's just a dude.
Rob Delaney or whatever his name is.
Oh,
he's just a guy.
Oh, he's in Catastrophe.
You know,
okay.
I got upset. I'm not sure if I've spoken to you about this. Mm-hmm. On Netflix, I discovered a stand-up special that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched this special?
No.
It's fucking bad.
I figured as much.
I think I lasted 20 minutes over 2 sittings.
Mm-mm. I know him for a lot of things. Not the yuck yucks. It's not. It's not what I know him for. But he's in it. Deadpool is really stupid.
Oh, of course.
And it is the first one that has done that bullshit ending end credits goddamn wasting of time. The first one to do it properly.
Oh, okay.
Because Deadpool can do anything he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fox doesn't give a shit anymore. And it's the
Fox probably, they're just like, yeah, sure, go ahead with it. Disney's about to buy us, so you won't have another chance. And
Douglas,
then Disney didn't buy
Douglas
or hasn't bought them
it
yet.
Feels like that. And it is perfect. That movie, so good. And then I've just been watching The Expanse.
I actually don't think I like the new Deadpool that much.
Oh, really?
Andrew, go straight to hell, please.
I'm already there.
Please. Yeah.
So,
you're right.
The Expanse, I've been keeping up. I like the show. I like it a lot.
It, like, I know they didn't know they were going to get canceled at the end of the season, but it feels like they are wrapping this shit up. Like, and in the middle of every season feels like that to me. Like, they're just like, we have to wrap this shit up. But you know there's more episodes. Mm-hmm. But this one, like, it feels like they're going, like, it feels like they are allergic to fluff. They're just like, thing after thing after thing after. And yes, it's like a galactic war that is going on. But the episodes, like,
they bring up a thing in one episode and it is resolved or escalated by the end of the, and they're just moving on. And that, I love that about this TV show. You've seen the episode where like the bomb hits Earth, like the...
No, I haven't seen that one yet. No, I didn't know.
It's like 4 episodes in.
What?
Yeah, where they launch a first strike against Mars.
Oh, yes, defense. I saw that. Mm-hmm.
Like, when I saw that, I was just like, they're not fucking around. They've moved past. I'm like, all right. And, like, the other thing that I love is that even though there's this giant MacGuffin in the show, they have this thing called the proto-molecule, which is basically magic. It's space magic. Like, it can do anything and be anything.
Apparently, it's created its own ship now.
Right.
But I think that's for the next episode. I don't think I've actually seen
like
that.
Like, at the very end of the episode.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. You see. Yeah.
But the thing I like is that the whole universe knows what this thing is now and is deadly afraid of it, but no one has the first clue what to do or how to, and so everybody's panicking because this thing is out there that no one has any control of, and everyone wants a piece of it so they can use it as leverage against everybody. So it's just this giant shit, like everything is going straight to hell, and you're just like, you people are the unluckiest space crew ever. It feels like what, Andrew, you should watch the show because it is the closest thing you'll get to a live action Cowboy Bebop.
That don't you dare tempt me. Like.
It is space cowboys is what this show is. And it didn't start when it started out, it felt like it was going to be some shitty police procedural in space. And it's like, what the? And I watch it and I'm like, well, the acting is good and the story is kind of interesting.
And Tom Jane.
Right. So that is why I thought it was just going to be some police. And we're 3 seasons in. And if I walked you through how this show started to where we are now, you'd think I've lost my goddamn mind. It's like, no, none of that. No show is like this.
Damon, you're right. This is kind of like Cowboy Bebop.
Is, yeah. That's yes. what this That's show what is space are. Cowboys.
Yeah.
They're space
Andrew
truckers.
Damon's right. That's exactly what this is.
They're space truckers, and they are the most unlucky space truckers in all of history.
And they have to save not everybody. The world, they have to save the space.
Yeah, they have yes. to save space.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Andrew, you have to watch the show. And it appeals to all of your senses.
Your sight,
yes. Your smell, your Star Wars finger, everything. It's perfect.
I was going to make a sensei joke, but then I remembered you guys hate that show too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, we wouldn't catch on because I know I haven't gone beyond, say, the
one
first
episode.
They have the special coming out, the finale special they're giving it.
The show! People go, no, Damien, just watch 3 episodes. Yo, dog, no. Really? 3 episodes in? Alright, listen. I'm going to not do that.
That's the one with Batvan, right?
Yeah.
And Van Damme. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember me. Far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night. We are apart. Remember.